At this time, we have a very special guest who is joining us to talk about a very special subject. Dr. Patricia Oman is an associate professor of English at Hastings College and the director of the Hastings College Press. Her research brings attention to forgotten writers, such as Bel K. Maniatis, who we'll be discussing today, and the Thompson poets, Aaron Belford, Thompson, Priscilla Jane Thompson, Clara Ann Thompson, and through archival and genealogical research, her most recent project with Wellesley R. Bishop was a republication of the Thompson's poetry in a book called The Rosmoyne Renaissance, published in 2021. She has republished two of Maniatis' novels, Amarilli of Clothesline Alley and Our Next Door Neighbors, and is currently preparing a volume of Maniatis' short stories scheduled for publication in the summer of 2024. Dr. Oman, good morning and welcome to Grecian Echoes Mondays with Mileti.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for calling in, and I'm so excited to have you on the air. You know, we posted in social media, made announcement that you had rediscovered Bel Maniatis, and can you tell us first, let's go there, why Bel, and how did you find her?
Well, there's a great youth bookstore in Omaha called Jackson Street Books, and I was just perusing books there one day, and in the humor section, I found this novel called Our Next Door Neighbors by a writer I had never heard of, but it looked kind of fun. So I bought it and took it home, and it was pretty delightful. And I was curious about the author, so I just sort of fell down this rabbit hole of research, finding out information about Bel Maniatis. And it turns out that she was a pretty popular writer in the 19-teens, and even had one of her books, Amarilli, A Clothesline Alley, was a bestseller that had film adaptations as well.
Which is amazing. And I believe one of the films, at least one of the films, is available on YouTube, the Amarilli of Clothesline Alley, which was released in 1918. But her story goes back a little further. We know that you had told me that she was born in 1860? Born to a Greek father. Her father was Greek, but her mother was not Greek. Her mother was American. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So she was born in 1860 in Marshall, Michigan. Her mother, Arabella Becker, her family was from New York and had been here since before the American Revolution. But her father was Greek, his name was Nicholas, and he actually was from the island of Isara, which was destroyed during the Greek War of Independence.
Right, yes, that's true. And now, you had sent me an interesting article about him, about her father, and that he was an orphan and had come, you know, as with a mission, I assume. It was an article from a Boston, was it newspaper? The Youth's Companion? Yeah, I'm very impressed by your research on this subject, by the way. So I when something like that came up, I'm like, ooh, interesting. It talked about her father. It talked about him as a young boy who had come as an orphan, and which brings me to something that I wanted to ask you. Now, you've gone back even further in her history, and Bel's history, to that she might be the great or grandniece or grandniece of a very famous figure.
Yes. So, I found two documents that link Nicholas to Isara. And the first one is an obituary in 1861 from a Marshall, Michigan newspaper that says that he was born in 1816 and he was from Isara, and that he's the nephew of Constantine Canaris, who was a huge hero during the War for Independence and eventually became the prime minister of Greece. And the other document that sort of tells that story is the article that you just mentioned from the Youth's Companion, which describes the story of Nicholas's brother George and what happened to him after the island was destroyed. And so both Nicholas and George were orphaned because of the destruction of Isara and because of the war. Both of their parents died during the war. And so Nicholas was brought to the U.S. by a naval chaplain. And apparently he was injured on his uncle Canaris's ship. pretty badly injured, in fact. And so the U.S. Navy chaplain brought him back to the U.S. to the hospital at Washington. And that's actually where he later was trained as a doctor.
Now, it's interesting to me that he was given up as an orphan when he still had uncles, presumably uncles and aunts, that were still alive back in the old country. I would have thought that maybe one of them would adopt. He came from such a prominent family, but I guess not.
Well, I mean, the destruction of the island was almost total. So there were quite a few orphaned children from Isara. So it may just been a matter of, and the war was still going on. So the war went on for, you know, several years after the destruction of the island. So it may be the case that, you know, there just weren't resources to, you know, to take in all of the orphans from the island and, you know, the other islands that were attacked as well.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. You know, there were so few Greeks that were in America. According to Theodore Salutos, and he has a book called The Greeks in the United States, there's no mention that I found of either Belmaniatis or her father, which is understandable. But what was shocking were in the population statistics based on, of course, the census. And if Bell was born in 1860, according to Salutos, from 1851 to 1860, there were only three immigrants from Greece, but 2,452,000. So, you know, this is the proportion. You know, there's so few Greeks, at least there are few that were counted here. But she wasn't really, as far as we know, really picked up by the Greek press. She was American at that point, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah. And she was actually only about 10 months old when her father died.
Oh.
So I don't know how much contact she might have had with that side of the family.
Right. And so can you tell us a little bit about Belle's early life then?
Yeah, and actually I can talk a little bit about Marshall, Michigan, where she was born.
Mm.
Yeah, you note that the census records don't indicate many Greek immigrants at the time, but I actually found at the Marshall Public Library, accidentally found this article that was a focus in the late 19th century about the time that Belle lived there, of this little girl who actually helped to translate for all the Greek workers who worked in Marshall. So there was a small community of at least factory workers and laborers in Marshall at the time, but they don't show up in any of Marshall's history.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. You know, are the very first, as far as we know, Greek Orthodox Church in America was in 1864. Down in New Orleans. Now, if there were enough people for a church, how can there only be, according to the census, roughly about 100 Greeks in the country? It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, this is what we have to do. But it's interesting. Now, tell us, Belle's writing was just so, I asked you for a recommendation, and I want you to know that I did read one of her books, Our Next Door Neighbors. And you had, why had you chosen that for me? Because I really enjoyed it. What was it about it, that book in particular?
Well, it was the first one of Belle's that I read, but it's also still my favorite. It's pretty funny. And I think it's one of the interesting things about that book is that it was advertised as just, you know, humorous. It's, you know, not one of those problem novels that were common in the 1915. But it actually deals with some really interesting, like, socioeconomic issues. So it's about this young couple, Lucien and Sylvia Wade. They've been married for 10 years, but Sylvia doesn't want to have children.
Right.
And so, which, you know, that's a pretty independent.
It is.
You know, the 1910s.
Yeah.
And then this family, the Polydors, move in next door, and the five kids are pretty feral, actually. They're left to their own devices while their parents are off being scholars and archaeologists, and they just sort of move in.
Now, and the children,
part of their family.
What was interesting was the children had these names that seemed Greek to me, Demetrius, Pythagoras, Diogenes. And I'm wondering if you got anything from that. Was that because that was one way of identifying them as orphans? Clearly, they must be these Greek orphans that are coming over, or they're such unusual names.
Yeah, you know, I think that's possible. But you know, that's the only book of Bell's that includes any Greek names.
Oh, really?
Or characters with Greek names.
Yeah.
So she really didn't identify the location of any of her novels or short stories. And she published 8 novels and more than 150 short stories, which were syndicated in newspapers. But she never really identified where each of them was set. So it was a little vague. But that's the only novel that deals with any characters with Greek names. But at the time, in the 19-teens, there's this sort of vogue in American children's literature for orphan stories.
Oh, so really? Okay.
Yeah, so the plucky orphan is kind of a genre of children's lit at the time. So, you know, think Pollyanna or Anne of Green Gables. And so it kind of fits into that genre. But at the same time, you know, I think Bell would have been somewhat familiar with that idea. Her father died when she was very, very young. And so her mother was, you know, supporting a family of 4 kids in the, you know, 1870s. So, you know, that couldn't have been easy.
No, not at all.
And Bell herself was pretty independent. She never married, never had kids. In fact, writing wasn't her day job. She was actually a clerk at the Michigan Capitol building. And her first job actually was a teacher. But after that, she was the head clerk at the Widow's Pension Office in Detroit. And then she worked with Adjutant General's Office in Lansing for most of her career. So, you know, she spent a lot of time with widows in her job and veterans. And, you know, herself would have been familiar with, you know, kids having to be pretty independent.
Right. Right. And do we know where she is buried? I know that's a morbid question, but I got to ask it.
Yeah, she's buried in Marshall, Michigan with her family.
She is. Okay.
So her parents and her brother died when he was in his late teens. And so the 4 of them are all buried in the same plot.
You know, it's interesting to me. I enjoyed the book very much. Our Next Door Neighbors, which was published in February of 1917, with illustrations by Tony Sarg. The copy that I was able to get in the short time we had was not the copy that you had re-released, though you had sent me your introduction, and I really appreciate that. So I read the book, and I read your introduction, and I enjoyed it very much. What was difficult for me was realizing that the level of English was much higher brow than I've been exposed to in recent years. So words like adroit, and the sentence was, Sylvia on rare occasions managed to break parole and make adroit escape from surveillance. I actually had to get out my dictionary and look it up, you know. And the adroit as an adjective, having or showing skill, cleverness, or resourcefulness in handling situations. And so I started to make a list of all these words that I didn't know that I was learning while I was being entertained, but I realized that, is this the dumbing down of America, do you think? Have we been caught up in emojis and lots of laughs and, you know, great? And, you know, what do you think?
I think possibly, but also their mother, so Bell's mother, was described in many newspapers as being very well educated. And she was a teacher, and Bell and her sisters were all teachers. And in fact, I found Bell and one of her cousins, Fanny Pringle, when they were about 15, they published, I think I mentioned this to you, they published just a little newspaper of their own, like a little in Jackson, Michigan.
Are there any copies?
And even at 15.
Yeah.
Well, there are 2 editions that still exist. The American Antiquarian Society has a collection of amateur newspapers from the 19th century, and they have 2 editions or 2 issues of this newspaper, and it is delightful.
it's so exciting. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
you.
But yeah, Zabel was pretty well educated.
She was, and so we had a lot of educated people that were had just come in for from Greece, or they were children of Greek immigrants, and they did quite well here, and yet they're lost figures in history. And so one of the things that, because right now this is a Grecian Echoes is a Greek-American radio program and the longest Greek-American radio program in the country. And what I do is I try to say that we have a lost history. We as Greek-Americans have not helped to write these important ties between our roots and the people who did wonderful things like Bel K. Maniatis. Now, the middle name Kanaris, how does that work? That was her father's mother's name?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. So her father, Nicholas, is kind of a question mark to me. I don't know a lot about his life. But various sources argue that the family was related to Constantine Kanaris, but I don't know exactly how. So some sources will say that Nicholas was his nephew, and then when Bell's brother, Nicholas, dies.
Right.
His obituary says that he was a nephew of Kanaris. And then Bell's obituary in 1931 says that she was the daughter of Kanaris, which can't be true. The timeline just doesn't work out there. So there seems to be some relationship, but the article about George Maniates from 1828 says that George and Nicholas were the first cousins of the wife of Constantine Kanaris.
No kidding.
And yet,
small world.
Yeah, but, Nicholas took Kanaris as his middle name, and then Bell did as well.
Yeah, it makes sense to me because they want to claim that because he was such a, as you say, he was a hero in the War of Independence, and he became a prime minister of Greece. There's a great wiki on him. And there is a wiki on Bell, but I suspect that it's going to need some work. And after you continue in your research, one of the things that I think this community can help with, and I'll do my best as well, is to look into the Greek press. There were some people back then in the early 1900s. Their newspapers are lost. They're in just a few places, the Greek newspapers. Perhaps they've written about her. Perhaps they can shine some light. Wouldn't that be exciting? You know?
Oh, that would be very exciting.
Yeah. So you've republished two of her books. And are they currently available? How can people get these books? What's the easiest way?
You can get them on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And one of them is called Our Next Door Neighbors. We talked about that one. And the other one is Amarilli of Clothesline Alley. And those are published through Hastings College Press. And then hopefully next summer we'll be publishing a huge volume of her short stories.
Yes, excellent. Our guest this morning, if you're just tuning in, our guest is Dr. Patricia Oman, an associate professor of English at Hastings College and the director of the Hastings College Press. Her research has brought attention to forgotten writers such as Bel K. Maniatis, who is the figure that we're discussing this morning. Bel was born in 1860. And the reason I say that her wiki is going to need some updating because the wiki says 1861. And so things are, you know, as we dig a little further and there's more evidence, we can chew those things up. And I suspect more of that will be going on. The story really starts with her father, who was a Greek orphan. From the war and orphaned after his island of Psara was destroyed. Both Chios and Psara were subjects, by the way, in Hope Karras's stories that she's been reading over the last few weeks. So all of this is very timely for us. Have you done presentations on this subject? Have you been called to give presentations on this, on Bell?
I have, yeah. So I gave a talk at the Lansing Historical Society in 2017, I think it was. They're particularly interested in her because Bell was a pretty prominent figure in Lansing when Amarilli of Clothesline Alley went, we'd call it viral today, but it was a bestseller and it became a adaptation with Mary Pickford, which was a very big deal.
Yeah.
And so the Lansing Historical Society is particularly interested in Belle. And because she worked at the Capitol building, I've been in touch with Valerie Harper there, who's the, or Marvel there, who's the historian at the Capitol. And she's very much interested in the lives of women who worked at the Capitol.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So more of the story will come out, hopefully. And you're continuing your good work. Tell us about Hastings College. Now, how long have you been there? And what have you been? This has been your main focus in your private research. But are you yet teaching, Belle, at Hastings?
So I've been at Hastings College for 11 years now. Just finished my 11th year. And I teach a variety of courses. So I teach my specialty is early 20th century American literature and film. But I teach a variety of stuff as a generalist. So I teach literature, film, publishing, and writing. And the novels that we have republished through Hastings College Press, those are all created in courses. So I teach a course called Book Production, where we it's a 2 or 3 week course where we create all the titles for HC Press. So I teach students how to do basic proofreading, and I teach them how to use InDesign and do basic typesetting.
Oh,
and
great.
So students have been involved. Yeah, so students have been involved at this at every step.
Oh, that's great. That's excellent. And your goal now is to release a volume of Maniatis' short stories for the summer of 2024. Now, they're copyright free as far as you can tell because they're so old. Is that the thing, or...?
Yes. So currently, anything published before in the U.S. before January 1st, 2026, or 1926, rather, is in the public domain. So all of these short stories are in the public domain. This has been a really, really long project because they were published in newspapers. Now, this project would not have been possible even 10, 20 years ago. I found all these stories by searching through a variety of databases. So newspapers.com, newspaperarchive.com, ProQuest, I mean, just a variety. So I've collected over 800 individual stories, but there's only about 160 of them that are like distinct stories because they were syndicated, the same story would have been published in multiple places. And one of the difficulties of this project is that we discovered that individual newspaper editors edited the stories, you know, to fit in space or for whatever reason. And so one of the most difficult things is we may have 12 versions of a story, and they may be 12 different versions of the story. And so we have to figure out which version are we going to use? How are we going to document that in the book that there are multiple versions of the story? So it's a pretty complicated project. It's already typeset and it's already laid out. But we're having to work through all those editorial issues.
Yeah, did any of her papers, Belle's papers, survive?
There are some, yeah. So,
good.
The Little Brown Company, which was one of her main publishers.
Right.
I found many letters between Belle and her editor. So I haven't found personal papers, but through other archives, I've been able to find some things that, some of her communications.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it was so long ago, but it's really a treasure hunt, is what it is. Don't you
find?
It is, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, perhaps there was a will that might be somewhere that could be pulled, and it would list maybe where she willed her things to be left. And
I have her will.
Oh yeah. You're amazing. You're amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was I named?
No,
I wasn't named.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no.
Yet to be born. Yeah. No.
I didn't find my name either. but I did find, I looked up her probate file in Lansing where she died. And it's a pretty extensive file. And it's amazing the type of information you can find in documents like that. So, I was able to discover that when she died, she had just the one bestseller. She had other books that did okay, but really only the one bestseller. But her real bread and butter were the short stories that she published for, she sold for just a few bucks a piece. But when she died in 1931, her probate file shows that she had an estate worth about $28,000 which today would be a little over $400,000.
Man, that's really impressive. That's really something. Yeah.
Considering, you know, she supported herself her entire life. And so yeah, I mean, she did okay.
Yeah. Well, this it's really just fascinating. Her story is very fascinating. And that you mentioned Mary Pickford had starred in one of her films. That has got to say something. So there's got to be more on Belle that's out there. And we look forward to kind of digging that out. We should say that there was an article. What led me to you was an article that was written by Steve Frangos in the newspaper out of New York, the Greek-American newspaper, the National Herald. He had written an article entitled "The Latest Rediscovery of Belle Karnaris Maniatis," and it was published on August 28th of 2022. Immediately back then, Steve had sent me an email and said, you know, you really should reach out to Dr. Ullman and ask her, find out about her work, because it's very, very important. I have to thank you on behalf of the Greek American community, because we're not doing these things ourselves. But you have just you're discovering and bringing to light a very important figure for us that has roots in our motherland, and it's part of our as an immigrant group, part of our story of being here. So I want to thank you. Oh, you know. And what would you like to see if there was anyone on the call, anyone listening to this broadcast now? What's the one bit of information that you would like clarified about Belle or her history?
Well, you know, I don't know a whole lot about her father, Nicholas. I know he got to the U.S. about 1828. I don't know much about the family, and I don't know much about his time before he got to Michigan in the 1840s. So that's just a big blank spot in my research. So yeah. If anyone has any ideas for, you know, how to find more information about him or other Greek relatives that may have been in the U.S. at the time, I would love that.
Okay, this is the challenge then, and I think we will be able to find out some information about Nicholas, and also it can take it back to Greece. Manny Paraskos, a retired professor of journalism at Emerson College, professor emeritus, last year was in a documentary where he told the story of some of the Greek orphans from the island of Psara and from Chios. And he just gave presentations to both of those islands. So maybe we can ask Manny, through Manny, we can reach out to people right in those islands that may be able to help with at least some of the evidence that may be in the Greek press. You know, we have newspapers from that period that we can inspect. But we need help. So if anyone listening to this can help, that would be great. I can give you a bunch of newspapers and you can start looking for information to help Dr. Oman with her study. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. This has been so enjoyable for me, and I hope for you.
Yes, thank you so much. Your research is kind of a solitary thing, so I'm thrilled that someone is interested in Maniatis.
Oh, yeah, we're very... Is there a good way? What's the best way for people to reach you? Through your email, I assume?
Yeah, so my email is poman, P-O-M-A-N, at hastings.edu. And anyone is welcome to send me any articles or information that you might find.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Have a great
day.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning on the Grecian Echoes Mondays with Mileti was Dr. Patricia Oman. She has rediscovered a very important figure in Greek-American history. A writer, a prolific writer, Belle K. Maniatis, who was born in 1860 in Michigan and had written over 200 short stories and 8 novels, 3 of them that were made into films. We're very proud of the work that Dr. Oman is doing. And if you can help with any of the Greek research, let us know, because I can give you a long assignment list. It's Mondays with Mileti and your host, Mileti Pouliopoulos.